Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Okay, everyone, it's great to welcome you. And tonight what we're going to do is we're going to look at our series again, Born to be Free, and we're taking a look at the letter to the Galatian churches. And I want to dive straight in and just read what I've got tonight is two verses. And you're probably thinking maybe it's going to be a short message, only two verses. It's not going to be that short, I can tell you that. But Galatians 1, verses 11 to 12, and I just want to read that for us and then pray. So this is what it says from the NLT. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this word before us tonight. We thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. We just open our hearts, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, you would shape our lives. Lord, help us to obey your word tonight. And lead us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Instead, I received it, Paul says, by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. What a great phrase. We're going to talk about what it means to have a revelation from Jesus Christ. That's really the crux of what I want to share tonight. And one of the joys that I love seeing is when a person captures God's heart, it switches on the lights and paves the way for them to embrace one of the most wonderful and beautiful gifts, which is the gospel of grace. Many of us have received the gospel. Many of us have at some point opened our hearts, maybe by some sort of revelation Christ gave to us. Even some maybe have had miraculous encounters with the living God. And some of us are here tonight with that, maybe listening online. And I want to say, if you have ever had something revealed to you by God, some sort of revelation, some sort of miraculous encounter, that is an absolute gift from God. It's a gift to get a revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful gift. And these are the kinds of revelatory experiences that tend to stay with us forever. Great leaders over time have had revelations from God that have changed the course of their life. Think of Moses. Remember Moses? When he was writing the book of Exodus, I bet he was looking back to Exodus 3 and he could remember vividly the burning bush. He could remember with great experience standing on holy ground. Think about Isaiah chapter 6. He would have no doubt recalled that great vision of seeing Jesus. Actually, it was Jesus lifted up high and seeing that vision across the earth. The great prophet Samuel, remember him? He heard God call his name and called his name three times. And on the third time, he got it. This is God calling me. What an encounter Samuel had. And then what about Gideon, who in the book of Judges, he's famous for laying that piece of fleece on the ground. Had dew one day, no dew the next. And he's famous for that. But before that incident, he actually sees the face of the angel of the Lord. And it changes the course of his life forever. Each of these people had an encounter with the living God. They discovered things about the Lord that they didn't receive from any man or woman, but directly from God. And it changed their life. Paul says he received Christ's gospel and grace not from any human source or by human reasoning. He received it by direct revelation from God. And revelation is powerful. It changes our lives. It changes the course of our life. And I know that's true for me, even as I think of this church, Carawarra. I remember many years ago, it was 2010, 2011, we sent out prayer teams into the suburb and we were praying and we were asking God, what do you want us to do here? And I remember distinctly praying personally one day And I saw a vision of this guy named Brian. Brian lived over just in the flats across Waterford Plaza. Brian was in a wheelchair, quite dishevelled looking. Hadn't showered for weeks. But in this vision, I could see him sharing his life, his broken life, and the pain of his relationships that are broken. And in the dream, I was sharing this gospel of grace with him, and he accepted. And I can remember the spot where I saw that vision. I can remember kind of how I felt about that vision. And it's kind of those things, those experiences that have changed not only my life, but I have to say Mel's life as well, whether she liked it or not. It's changed our lives forever. Now she's leading Bull Creek. And we just praise God for that. And for Paul, he received this revelation from Christ, actually multiple revelations. We know somewhat of his story from Acts chapter 9, where he sees the Lord on the road to Damascus. He has this incredible vision of God, and it's quite a frightening vision, but it stays with him and it changes the trajectory of his life. Are you with me so far? Can you understand that we get a revelation from God that actually changes the course of our life or our trajectory in life? And I love it when the gospel takes a hold of someone, like it did with Paul. So tonight what I want to do is I want to share three, what I think are three amazing truths as to why God might want to give these kinds of revelations, not only to Paul or me, but to all of us in some way or shape or form. They're extraordinary gifts. And here's the first one why God gives this. Our Father passionately loves us. And you know why? Because this is what it says in John 3, some very well-known verses. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son so that whoever believes in him may not be lost but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world guilty, but to save the world through him. You know what? Many of us have heard those verses before. And you know what? Sometimes we think about those verses. Yep, know that one, that's a great verse. But you know what? It needs to go here. Those verses need to go into our hearts. God loved the world. And I want you to just imagine for a moment reading those verses for the very first time. And I don't know if you can remember back to when you read those verses for the first time. But what is it like for someone who reads those verses for the first time and the Holy Spirit says, that is true. And they get an experience that God loves them so intensely, so passionately, that he would send his only Son to die on a cross to become their Saviour. They're very special verses. I often think, and my mind boggles, how God could send his own Son to die on a cross for me. I wouldn't do it for my own child, but God did it because he loves us. When a person has this experience of God's love, a new identity in Christ is formed and a new story begins to unfold. We've got to drop our car, not our car, our son's car tomorrow to a great friend of ours. He's a mechanic. He's a Christian mechanic. And he is from an Iranian background. He's told me his story. And in this story, he came to Perth very, very depressed, very lonely, separated from his wife. He has a daughter. And he remembers and recounts the day someone shared the good news with him. He said, some people have shared the good news, but this time when this person shared it, something changed. And he began to sense the warm embrace of God the Father, that the Father loves him. And he found Jesus dramatically. It's wonderful. His story is just an amazing. He's not a Muslim per se, but he comes from that background in Iran. And when you see this guy and you worship next to him, you have to give him space because he is a demonstrative worshiper. In fact, whenever he worships, I get inspired and I think I want to try and outdo him and worship. And then he sees that I'm trying to outdo him and he just goes up another level. And it's so special to see. He's become instrumental in starting a charity that will minister to Iranian believers and non-believers in their home country. And as you know, it's pretty tough living in Iran at the moment. But that encounter with Jesus for this Christian mechanic of mine changed his whole life, changed the course of his life. Now he's actually ministering the gospel. And I just say, if these encounters with the living God changes the trajectory of a person's life, I say, give me more. I say, Lord, release it more. Release it into our suburbs. So that's the first one. Why? Because our Father passionately loves us. Here's the second one. Christ desires to make the gospel known. Matthew 11 says, all things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. That's the beautiful thing. Anyone, do you notice that word there? Anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. Anyone, regardless of their background, regardless of their history, their economic setting, regardless of their belief system, God wants to reveal. You know, there's been times, and maybe you can say this yourself, where you share the gospel or you're sharing parts of the word with someone and it's almost like no one's home. The lights are not on. They can't comprehend what you're talking about. It sounds pretty good, Darren, but it's not for me. You ever hear that? You ever get that? But after a while, some of these people we share with, they start to just automatically get it. I don't know how. But what I do know is that the seed that's planted, God begins to germinate that in a person's life. And then they have a revelation of who Jesus is. And the lights come on. Jesus has a deep desire, friends. He has a deep desire to reveal the Father's love and the gospel of grace, and dare I say it, to every single person on the planet. I haven't checked lately, but I'm pretty sure we've gone past 8.2 billion people. Does that sound about right on the planet? It's pretty close to that. But that's a lot of people that God actually desires to reveal the truth to. And he's doing this every day around the world, around our city, even in our neighbourhoods. Christ is being revealed. Hallelujah. And I love what David Garrison says. He's a great missiologist, Baptist missiologist, if there is such a thing. But he says this in his books. More Muslims have come to Christ in the past two decades than at any other point in history. Christ is revealing himself to them in dreams all over the world. This is nothing new, by the way, and many of us might know this. But according to Garrison, in the first 1,200 years since Christ, not one movement in terms of people coming from Islam to Christ, no recorded movement. But since the year 2000, only the first 12 years I've got at the moment, there are 69 movements from Islam to Christianity. And when we define movement, that is like thousands and thousands of believers coming to know Christ every day. It's exciting, isn't it? And that's only to 2012. I haven't done any research up until 2023. Imagine what God's done. He's multiplied that, and it's actually becoming exponential. And it's wonderful. Praise God for what he's doing around the world in our city. And we're believing over here that's what he wants to do at Curtin University. And would you pray for us? Because actually something in our hearts, in the university team, John, myself, Brian and others, we actually would love to reach some of the Muslim believers there. And one question we want to ask them, I was actually taught this by a friend, to ask them the question, have you ever had a dream about a powerful man wearing white? Because this is part of the imagery that some of them are dreaming. Pray for us in that. The best thing about Christ's revelation is that it's never a one-off experience. You don't get one and that's it. You usually get a few more after that. And it's always an opportunity to experience more. And here's my third and final point I want to make tonight. The Holy Spirit enables us to have the opportunity to keep on knowing Christ better and better and better. To keep on knowing Jesus better. This is what it says in Ephesians 1. This is Paul asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. Now, just a reminder, whenever we see that word knowledge, it's not about intellectual knowledge. It's about relationship. It's about a close communion. It's about this rich, rich intimacy with Christ. Verse 18, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he's given to those he's called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. When we first come to know Jesus, that revelation would continue to intensify over time and gets increasingly more and more in the sense of confirming all the promises of God for us. The call is, friends, that we actually get to know Christ better. The Holy Spirit helps us to give us spiritual wisdom to this end. Paul knew it, he prayed it, he repeatedly experienced the grace of God, which when you experience those things, any one of us can get through anything in life. It strengthens us to get through. So let me say this again, encounters with the living God, guess what? It changes the trajectory of a person's life. And I know we're all living testimonies of this. I wonder if you are aware that in October last year, NASA completed quite a successful mission and they performed what they called a DART test. And a DART test stands for Double Asteroid Redirection Test. And it's where the spacecraft's kinetic impact targets this asteroid, and the particular one, Dimorphos. I think we actually got a picture of it up there. And they successfully altered the asteroid's orbit just by a few degrees. It marks humanity's first time, the article goes on to say, purposely changing the motion of a celestial object in the first full-scale demonstration of asteroid deflection technology. Amazing. Should make us sleep better at night. They go on to say, all of us have a responsibility to protect our home planet. The mission shows that NASA is trying to be ready for whatever the universe throws at us. That's a great visual, isn't it? That they achieved by powerfully impacting the asteroid just to throw it slightly off course. You know, there's something greater than that. Come on. There's something greater than that. His name is Jesus, who's changed our lives forever. And even if it's a small way that we've encountered him, he actually just slightly changes the course of our life through the experiences and through the love of God. It says to me, it doesn't matter how big or small the encounter is, because each encounter can change how we live, how we operate, how we share the good news, how we bless others, how we follow him, how we live for him, how we live a holy life for him. The encounters with the living God changes the trajectory of a person's life. If I had to say this in another way, an encounter with God actually messes with my life, messes with your life in a good way, but for the better. Let me say that encounters are an experience that I believe every Christian should have. Can I say that again? Encounters with God is an experience that I believe every Christian should have. And you might be sitting here today or listening to this online and say, Darren, I've never had an encounter with the living God. Don't know how, don't even know what you're talking about. And that might be you sitting here tonight or listening online. And we can never force or manipulate God a certain way. He's God, we are not. However, actually, Jesus desires to reveal himself in greater ways. Not only just with the gospel of grace, but in magnifying ways in our life. And so I want to say, if that's you tonight, can you just come and see me? I want to pray for you. I want to pray into that for us tonight. And pray that we will, and you will, encounter the Lord in different ways this week. But this is what I suspect at the same time. Many of us could go back and recount some of the experiences when we accepted Christ or maybe an experience with the Holy Spirit, and we can click right back into that amazing encounter with the living God. We can see the setting in our head. We can remember the experience of our hearts. We can remember the scene and the feelings that it caused in our life. And to remember that the Lord's given to you that as a gift, an absolute gift, and to be committed. You know, if God gives us a revelation, like he did for Paul, like he's done for me and like many of us, it's a gift to actually surrender to. He's given it to us and to you for a purpose. And that's really important to say. Can I say this as well, that sadly, there's many in the world that remain blind to the love of Jesus. They don't know, they can't comprehend. And I want that element of people being blind to the grace of Christ to actually burn in our hearts a little bit and to become a heartache for us. Because if you've received a revelation of the Father's great love for you, let that burn like a fire in our bellies. Let it burn like a fire in our hearts so that we can use that to reach out to people and bless them. I pray that there will be multiple encounters with the living God this week for our community in Carrawarra, Bentley, Como, Manning, wherever it might be. I ask God for that because that is the thing that will change someone's life. And maybe you might be the person. You know, I remember 30 years ago, back in 1995. Can you remember what you did in 1995? Oh, Mark. Good on you, Mark. I had to write mine down to remember it, but that's good. But I remember in 1995, I can remember the setting, and I can remember that I was this young guy consumed by just what I would describe as compounding fear. I was so scared of life, I was so scared of people, scared of relationships, scared of death. I was really scared of how I was going to die. I was certainly scared of dying and also scared of coming before the judge of the whole world, God, because I knew he would judge me. And I began a six-week study in the book of Christianity Explained. I was trying to think, there was a six-week study, and it was a beautiful study, and there's an Anglican couple in their 60s that took me through it, and I owe a lot to them. And on the fifth week, I can remember sitting on this bed in Kalamunda, and I prayed what I thought was probably the weakest and the smallest prayer that I could ever pray, which is just, Lord, I just want you in my life. That's all I prayed. I can remember the scene. I can remember something happening, a small change. And it was a bit like that kind of, you know, the asteroid just slightly changed and deflected me into a new reality. I came back to the final study, study six, and they said at the end, do you want to accept Jesus as Lord? And I said, oh, I already did it. And I said, you want me to go down to church and do it? I can do it there as well if you want. And she said, no, you don't have to do that. They were really, really delighted. They were very excited about that. And I'll never forget what the guy said to me, Graham. And I can remember what he said. He said, Darren, you can say with complete confidence now that if you die right now, I don't want you to do that, but if you die right now, you will go into the presence of Jesus, you're saved forever. And in that moment, God did something dramatically in me. And to be honest, I cannot describe in words or feelings or even pictures because it was a direct deposit. It was a direct revelation from God. I received it from no human source, no human reasoning, but directly from God. And in that moment, my fear vanished completely. And 1 John 4:7 says, perfect love drives out all fear. That was my experience. Gone. Totally gone. And the Holy Spirit filled me. And 30 years ago, it was 30 years ago, I can still remember the expression on Graham's face. I can still remember his porch. I can still remember the sun shining through those trees because it was a direct revelation from God about the gospel of grace. Hallelujah. You know, all of us have a story to tell. And these encounters that we increasingly, I hope, will receive from the Lord by his grace is like a fire that cannot be put out. And that causes us to change our lives, to surrender afresh to the things that he wants us to know. So let this week, let the encounters come exponentially in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Let's just take a moment. I just want a moment of silence just between you and the Lord. And I want you to pray in a couple of ways. If you've never experienced that grace of Christ, why don't you just ask God to help you with that? Lord, reveal yourself in new ways. And maybe others can pray, Lord, in a thankful prayer of how Christ has set you free and given you experiences that you will always cherish, always remember. Take these few moments. Father, I just want to thank you. You are so rich in mercy. And I want to thank you for the mercy and the grace evident in our lives. I want to thank you for those wonderful experiences each of us have uniquely had with you. Thank you for the gift. And I pray, Lord, as it's changed our lives, I want to pray this week that many would encounter the living God, albeit in a dream, maybe through the word, maybe through someone's prophetic gift. Whatever it might be, Lord, would you charge the atmosphere? Charge the atmosphere in these neighbourhoods that we minister. That people will encounter the risen Christ and they will encounter the living word. Would you do that this week? Would you turn the lights on for many, Lord? That we would see people come and encounter the living God and say, I need Jesus. So I pray, Lord, would you fill your churches with new believers who encounter the living God. Thanks for our time together. We give you the praise and honour in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.